Hey, you can be seated at all the campuses today. First of all, we're excited because every campus today, all y'all had the same presentation. It wasn't an amazing, the singers, the dancers, the everything. Come on, Florida, you can give it up. That's just bizarre to have eight different campuses doing this. As well as we're stoked about our Christmas Eve services. They're coming up. Sunset Hills, our city, Weldon, Ferguson, the Chapel, Royal Palm, West Palm. Everybody has Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is the time when we come together and we sing carols together. I preach a little sermon real quick. And it's just an amazing time. It's important to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And then what's really cool is on Christmas Day, because it is on Christmas Day, we actually are doing Christmas at home. And so last year we recorded an on special, and our family together came together, told stories. It was neat. Told about Jesus, of course, and sang carols. Well, we did that again. We taped it last week, and it was just a lot of fun. Nicole and I and the whole family sang. Me and Ashton did a special together. And then to top it all off, not only will it be streaming on our sites, but really, really cool. ABC, especially in St. Louis, I'm extremely loud. In St. Louis, we were able to kick off the news. They told me, they said at 8:30, ABC always has the news. And this week, ABC decided that they don't want the news. They're going to spend the money. I said, are you telling me for X amount of dollars, we could kick off the news? And so Faith Church, you have bought out the news in St. Louis, and we're bringing good news. Come on, somebody. And so the times, I think they have them there, as well as Florida. Since St. Louis called, we said, let's go to Florida. For the first time ever, we are buying Sunday morning NBC, CBS, and Fox. So give it up for Jesus taking over. How many of y'all think the world could use some good news right now? Raise your hand, right? The world needs good news. And Jesus, of course, is the news that we're going for here. I want to talk today a little bit about gifts. And have you ever searched for the perfect gift? You know, you're looking for the perfect gift. And then has anybody ever opened up, you know, like the ring in front of the girl and thought, man, the ring looked bigger in the store than it does now, right? It's wild how everything kind of shrinks down. I actually, 25 years ago when Nicole and I first got married, I didn't know what to buy her. We'd gotten married in October. I knew her, but I didn't know her that well. I didn't know what she really wanted. I knew that I wanted a mountain bike, so I bought her something we both could use, believe it or not. She's still holding that against me. Come on, right? So gifts are incredible, but they're only as good, of course, as you receiving the gift. You have to unwrap the gift. And so I wrapped up these three gifts at all campuses today. I want you to pay attention because maybe your friend invited you or you're watching online somewhere around the world and you're like, well, I don't deserve a gift. You know, we know the song. It says, he knows when you are sleeping. Remember, he knows when you're awake. He knows. That's not Jesus. That's Santa. Jesus knows that we have done bad, and that's why he came down the staircase of heaven and was born a virgin. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And he is the one, the tree, the Christmas tree at your house and everywhere, Rockefeller Center. That tree represents the tree that Jesus hung on, that he bled on. The lights represent the fact that he is the light of the world, and he is the reason for Christmas. Let's give it up one more time for Jesus in this season. So I want to unwrap this first gift. First of all, guys, how many like me and you are really bad at wrapping? It's nasty looking. Raise your hand. I've never really learned to wrap either because I don't want to help with the wrapping, but that's a whole nother sermon. But as I unwrap your gift today, the first gift, are you going to like this one? Forgiveness from your past. What a gift. Forgiveness from your past. See, Jesus has forgiven us of our past, but sometimes we don't forgive ourselves of our past. Because we're always focusing on the mistake that we made. In about 15 seconds, I'm going to show a little video. I saw it on TikTok. Pull it down because you just had to see this. This little girl makes a mistake. It's really cute, but it's not a big deal. But this is actually how sometimes we look to God. Check this out. There she is. Oh, my gosh. Don't you hate it when that happens? Oh, man, I messed up. I sinned. I fell short. I got an idea. I'll just pull it closer to me. That'll surely solve the problem. And yeah, I got it this time. No, I ain't got this. Come on, give it up for that cute little girl. Is that unbelievable? So this is kind of what it looks like when we do a sin. You can't cry over spilt milk. Anybody ever heard that? So you can't cry over the things that you did wrong. You have to cry joyful tears for what Jesus did right. So we realize the gift and the greatest gift that he gave us was forgiveness from our past. There's a scripture that represents this really well in John chapter 4. There's a woman, and let's just say she had a lot of boyfriends. She'd be sliding up in a lot of DMs. Jesus shows up next to her at a well, and here's the interaction. Then a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone off to buy food, and the Samaritan woman asked him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, a woman, for a drink? Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew about," and everybody shout that word, "God's gift." Everybody shout it again. What? "God's gift of eternal life. And who it is that says this to you, 'Give me a drink,' if you would have asked instead, 'Hey, I want this eternal living water.'" So we got to realize that this woman felt bad about her past, and she couldn't really comprehend that Jesus wasn't just asking for a drink for the both of them. He was actually wanting her to understand that he had a drink that she'd never be thirsty again. By the way, that's another thing for the heathens. They understand the word thirsty. Thirsty doesn't mean you're just thirsty. It means you're thirsty. Come on, Earth City. Somebody ought to shout at me. Don't act like I'm the only one that knows about being thirsty. So this woman, let's just say, was thirsty. And Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to help you overcome your past. I'm going to help you go past your past and realize that Jesus does this. He takes our sins when we sin, and we do. We all have we spilt the milk, we spilt the tea. And we look at it and we focus on the thing that we did wrong. While Jesus, 2,000 years ago, when he died on the cross, when he hung on the tree, he died so you and I could be free from that. And he says this in 1 John 1:9. If you're a note taker, you can write it down. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So he's faithful and he's just not only to cleanse us, but he actually takes our sins and he throws them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again. He said he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. Now he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness, and then he says, he puts out a big sign that says, "No fishing here." So people are always trying to dig up what you did wrong, and I want you to change your mindset and change the way you're looking at yourself and say, "I am no longer that person who did that thing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. Did you not see me unwrap my gift? I now have been forgiven. I admit it, I quit it, and I forget it. And now I'm justified," which means just as if I never." Somebody ought to give God praise today. So that's your gift. It's the worst. Anybody ever got a gift from somebody and you really didn't want it? Come on, raise your hand. You didn't want it. Anybody going to be honest with me today and say that you re-gifted a gift before your life? Raise your hand, you liars. It's Sunday morning. Come on, St. Louis. By the way, St. Louis, I'm on my way to you this afternoon, which proves that I love you because it's 78 degrees here and it's 5 there. Come on, that's bad. And it's going to be the coldest week ever. I don't even know what happened. But pray for me, Florida. Pray for me. On the way here, it was kind of funny. It's not in my sermon, but there's like a big, tall poodle. Anybody ever seen like a 4-foot poodle? And the poodle had a jacket on. And the woman and the poodle were a lot. And it was going. I said, "Man, that dog would die where we're going today. He needs a jacket in warm weather." So you've re-gifted a gift. Have you ever, when you're going to re-gift the gift, had to really think and make sure you're not giving the gift to the person that gave you the gift? I want more participation. Anybody ever give the gift? You're like, "Oh my gosh, what?" Because we didn't really want it. This gift is the perfect gift. This gift is forgiveness from our past. Now, sometimes though we can't get past our past because we always are reminded by the enemy. Now, first of all, there is a devil. Raise your hand if you believe there's a devil. Raise your hand if you believe at one point you were in a relationship with his cousin or something like that. So there's a devil. Okay, now the devil comes. Y'all are going to know this, most of you, and if you don't feel bad. But it says the thief comes, speaking of the devil, to do what? To kill, to steal, and to destroy. And one of the things he kills and he destroys is he hates it that we've been forgiven from our past. So when we unwrap the gift and we're walking around with our new bling, we look like Jesus. And he hates Jesus. So therefore, he hates you. So now that you have been forgiven, let's talk about that for a minute. Every time you think about the sin, it's either the enemy or the inner me. The inner me, maybe you were, whatever you went through it, but you didn't really go through it. And now the enemy is dragging you down again. You need to pull yourself up, begin to renew your mind with the word. Because here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want in December of 2023, a year from now, a year goes faster than you think. Are you old enough to realize that it took forever to get to 16, forever to 18, forever to 21, and you hit 50, right? It's just boom. So time speeds up. So a year from now, you're going to be doing something anyway. So let's do this. Let's make sure that we're saying, hey, at least once a week in the new year, you're going to join Planet Fitness because it's $9.95 a month, and you're going to go in January, and you're going to go in February, and then in March, you're going to slide off, and then April, you're like, oh, man, I can't do it. And then the rest of the year, you're just paying it because, you know, I don't want to unhook my membership because it's only $9.95 a month. By the way, my buddy owns Planet Fitness. I know how this works. If they make it more than that, studies have proven that you back off. So if they can keep it under 10 bucks, you just keep doing it whether you're doing it or not. Who might? Am I explaining your situation? But here's the deal. We can join the gym, and that's great. But what you don't do really is I join the church, and I come and I don't come. If you want results, what you have to do is you got to throw your whole self in and go, hey, the gift God gave me was forgiveness for my past. So I'm going to go to church so much that a year from now, I have to introduce myself to myself because I do not recognize myself because I will not respond the same way. I'm not going to act the same way. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm not going to be in the same relationships. I'm going to make a difference in my own life because I'm going to take charge and move past my past because if God is super smart, raise your hand if you think God's really smart, all campuses. That's everybody. If he's really smart and he made you, he didn't go, oh man, I really screwed up on that one. He loved you so much that think about this. You have a thumbprint on all the squazillion people that are on the planet today. Think about Thailand. Think about Hong Kong. Think about the Fiji Islands. You know, let's keep thinking about that. That's beautiful. All these different people out of everybody in the world, ain't nobody got a thumbprint like you do. Go ahead and put up your thumb and look at your thumbprint just for 1 minute. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm thumbbody. So nobody has this. That means that you were made with unique purpose that he really went to a lot of detail and that he knew that you had a specific place in history and he knew that you needed to be this age and this color right now in this season because if you don't do what you're called to do, there's a hole in the ozone. There's a problem in the planet. The universe will not be complete because you have to get past your past so you can not only make a difference in your life, but you can make a difference in everybody else's life. You need to realize that 23 will be a better me. In Jesus' name, give it praise today at all the churches. Yeah, get past it. Look at your neighbor. They need to hear this and say you're doing better than you think you are. And look back at them again and say, I was noticing you look better than you think you do. You look fine. You look fine. Especially if you're married to him. This is the way you score points. You go, girl. Baby, it's cold outside. But you don't have to fear. I'm flowing under my spirit right now. Because you're hot. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Okay, how about gift two? How about we open up gift two? Anybody want gift two? Come on, make some noise. You want me to open up gift two? Here we go. Let's see what's in gift two. I don't know, but I think you're going to like it. Oh, you're going to love this one. This is peace for your now. In the midst of a recession, in the midst of, you know, diesel fuel $6 a gallon, and they say it might go away, and you tried to buy an electric car, come to find out it had bad batteries, and you're just screwed. You know, you're like, I don't know. I can't win for losing. I'm worried about my job. My wife left me. My kids did this. Everybody at our church today and online around the world, everybody's in a different space and a place. And I want to pause there and talk about being in a bad place. I remember I'm 53, my dad was 56, and he died unexpectedly. Obviously, in my head, I have to renew my mind because I hear it all the time. Like, you're 53, he was 56, your grandpa died, he was early and young, and your grandma died, and everybody else died, and you're thinking about the math, and they didn't even have the pressure that you do. You pastor 8 mega churches, and your budget's $16 million, and you don't know what in the world you're going to do. And I go, wait a minute, that is my biological family. My family tree forked 2,000 years ago, and Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. And guess what? I'm not going to think like them with all due respect. I'm not going to eat like them with all due respect. I'm not going to do what they did, so I'm not going to get what they got. There's a little bitty kid, about 2 years old here. Just got to pause. It's the cutest little kid I've ever seen. And when I preach, this kid can't be more than two. How old is that child clapping? Huh? How old? 20. He'll be two. The child will be two in March. And every time I say something good, the kid looks at me and goes. But let the church stink face. Come on, somebody. Hey, little bitty dude, little afro. He's like, preach it, preach it. Come on, everybody give me what that kid gave. I like it. I like it. Kid ain't never paid taxes, ain't never had a job, got a bottle to him every day, got his pampering change. Hey, I ain't got no problem. Peace. Everybody shout, peace for now. So my dad dies, and I remember the first Christmas, and that's a tough spot to be. Anybody ever lost a loved one around Christmas time? Tough spot, man. And you think, man, I'm never going to be happy again. But let me tell you, the time is a healer. I remember when I was married for years, 8 years. A lot of dirty details there. And I remember going through the first Christmas alone, thinking I'll never be happy again. I'll never live again. Turn on the radio. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Oh, God. Next station. Baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. I was wrong. And then you turn to the next station, thank God, and it said, at first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. And then I spent so many nights just thinking how you done me wrong, and I grew strong. Come on, shout it with me. And I learned. Yeah, y'all know that, but you don't know the Bible. Come on. My audience. So you're back from outer space. Okay, so you have to change the way you think about the situation that you're going through. By the way, one way to have peace is to say, maybe it didn't happen to me. Maybe, just maybe it happened for me. Let's all shout that out loud. Shout, maybe it happened for me. Now, this will give you peace. The Bible says that God works all things together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So you got to look at the bad thing that happened and realize if God forgave my past, he promised peace for now, then what's my part to play in the peace? Here's the way to keep your peace. You have to have pieces of church, God. Nicole wrote a book called Hi God, It's Me Again. You can pray those prayers every day. You can take charge of your life and say, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to refrain from thinking negative thoughts. And get this, I'm going to stop watching the news. I think it's so cool that our church is wealthy enough that we could buy out ABC News. It felt good. I think we ought to save up and knock off all the news. You know, to just get rid of all the news. Be like, bam, bam. We need to Elon Musk this bad boy. Somebody ought to shout him, maybe. Bam. Gone. Cancel, cancel, cancel. We got good news. Jesus died, resurrected himself, and the rest of your life can be the best of your life. His name is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, Ferguson, come on. Everybody ought to shout right now. Jesus, he's the answer. Alone, peace for you now, okay? Let's go. Alone, that boy back there got it going on. Yes, he does. Okay, Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Shout it with me, class. What? Prince of Peace. One more time. All campuses. What?
Prince of Peace.
He's not just has peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's got a massive amount of surplus. You want peace? Our boy got it. You want peace? He said, I got peace that passes all understanding. You can be in a situation, but then the people around you help you remember you got peace for now. There's a girl at our church right now, her name's Cynthia Mandel. She's up at Jupiter in the hospital. Cynthia, when we came to Florida years ago to start the church, she was about almost 200 pounds heavier than she is now. She had been molested a lot as a kid, in and out of orphanages. And the one person who molested and abused Cynthia the most would give her candy, which it was a weird situation, and it developed a eating disorder in Cynthia. Cynthia started watching Joel Osteen, and Joel did an event in Fort Lauderdale to which Joel came up on the stage, and he did his deal, and then Joel said, hey, I got my good friend David Crank here today, and he's going to start a church in West Palm Beach, Florida, and you're going to love it. And Cynthia was in the audience. Cynthia had no peace, suicidal, and didn't think she was going to make it. We started the church and she started coming. But she didn't just start coming every once in a while. She just kept coming all the time. And she was so overweight and so out of control, she says, in her life, that she couldn't even walk up the steps. But she somehow found her way in here. Then she started finding out that the Prince of Peace loved her and that what happened to her, that God was going to turn it around and take the test and make it a testimony. And what was going to kill her was actually not just a tombstone. It was going to be a stepping stone. Somebody ought to shout amen. And then she began to write a book about the perils, and she became successful. And she's an incredible salesperson and one of the big donors. She just invented herself out of church, out of nothing. And she's one of the capstones of the church. She fell ill about a week ago. It was in the hospital last week. And the doctors came in ICU and said she wasn't probably going to live. And she would never see the light of day. But thank God for people at our church that knew Cynthia and that were in her small group. And they started coming around her unconscious bed. Somebody ought to shout amen. And they were saying, Cynthia, you're going to live and not die. You didn't write this book not to go on tour, did you now? They don't think she could hear. But guess what? She's sitting upright watching today at the hospital. And she's coming out because the Prince of Peace is there. He's here. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving a live God. Somebody ought to give him praise today. And if you fight one of us, you got to fight the whole trailer park. He'll give you forgiveness for your past and peace for you now. I like it. I like it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad I came to church. Say, it may be cold outside, but it's hot up in here. It's hot in here. St. Louis, you know, that's why Nelly wrote that song. It's getting hot in here. Keep on your clothes. Romans 8:28, more peace. Check this out. And we know that all things, what's all things include? Everything, all that. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined and conformed to the image of his son. That's when you got born again, you received Jesus, you conformed to the image of his son. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. You're called. He called. And those he called, he justified. Justified. Justified means just as if he never. Okay, what should we say to these things then? If God is for us, who can be against us? If he didn't spare his own son to deliver us and freely gave us Jesus, won't he give us all things? Now, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, Cynthia in the hospital, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, David Crank paraphrases, high inflation, higher in 40 years, murder, mayhem. No, none of these things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That ought to make somebody shout today that God has given us peace for our now. Come on, give God some rowdy praise. Yeah, we're fans. Woo! Yeah! Peace for you now. So if you don't got peace, it's your problem. My daughter there in St. Louis, she sang today and did so great. She never one time in my life said, Father, I'm not worthy to open my gift. I don't deserve it. I didn't clean my room. These are all things she's done. I talked back to you, all things she's done. Come on, somebody. There's never anything to eat at the house according to me, but I order Uber Eats and it's $9,000 a month. But I don't deserve it right now. My father bought me a Tesla, but I'm too lazy to plug it in. But oh, God, I don't know. These are all facts. But not one time did she keep back from opening her present. Because of Christmas, we celebrate our Christmas. It was this week. It was the only date that worked for all of us to get together. So Christmas Day, I don't know what I'm going to do, but maybe come to your house or something. But we did Christmas. And she was looking for her gifts under the tree. She wants to see to and fro. To and from, because there's no condemnation in her. She knows that even though I was there when she spilt the tea, when she spilt the milk, but I don't judge her. I think it's cute. I watched her grow up. She looks like me with hips and lips. What's not to love about this kid? right? So she knows that she's in right standing with her father. And maybe you have a bad situation with your biological dad. Or you feel like my dad didn't love me, or my dad never told me I loved him. I'm telling you, you can break that cycle today. You might not have come from a good family, but a good family can come from you. So you need to rise up today and say, you know what? I'm not going to cry about my past. I've been delivered from my past. And by God, there's hope for my future right now. And I'm going to shed love to everybody, everywhere, and tell them that Jesus is the answer. That's your cue to give God some praise today. Yeah! Pull up to the table. You belong here. You're welcome here. You got this. Look at your neighbor, and if it's a girl, say, you go, girl. All right. We got this last gift to unwrap. This last one. I got to see. This is, whoever did this, by the way, you guys wrapped really good. Let's see what's in this one. Oh, you're going to like this one a lot. This is hope for your future. You might say, well, Pastor David, I'm cool with my past being forgiven, and I'm okay with having, you know, I'm at peace with the situation. But having hope for the future, that's a, yeah. I got a 2-year-old grandson, and he is all hype, man. He walks around the house going, Papa! Papa! Are you? Papa! He calls his grandmother Bae. Bae! How many of y'all know she loves that? What's up, Bae? Who's my Bae? Who's my Bae? She run around the house looking, he walked past me and goes, where Bae? Bae, are you? Because he wants to get with Bae because Bae will play. Bae plays trucks. Bae does all kinds of stuff with him. And he walks around the house. No depression. He doesn't walk around going, it's hard being a 2-year-old. My situation stinks. My parents are this. My granddad tells my stories publicly in front of everybody. No, he walks around going, what do I get today? Oh, he started ripping presents. He started getting presents. He was chucking presents. His grandmother, Bae, was saying, don't throw it. And he's like, boom. I'll tell you, that's the way you need to be. You need to go around going, I'm expecting good things. I know that he's exceedingly abundantly above thinking about all this stuff he's going to bless me in 23. I bet you I'm going to beat my man. Come on. I bet you this is the year that I'm going to get the job. Instead of walking around with, well, I hope it gets better. No, it is your season. When things are down, Jesus' stock is up. Nothing is impossible to the believer. And even your brain. First of all, let's take a vote today. All campuses, how many of you got a brain? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of y'all feel like you got a big brain? Let's just go there. It's a pretty big brain. Okay, we're going to check this real quick. How many of y'all, sometimes you're driving down the road and you feel like you know for a fact that you're just a way better driver than most people? Raise your hand. It just, well, it's the truth, right? Way better. I believe the same thing about me. Anybody ever had anybody pass you like a maniac? You drive that way, but when you see them do that, you're like, what a moron. He's going to kill somebody. Raise your hand. I want to see who it is, right? He's going to kill somebody. But when you do it, when we do it, because we are superior drivers, we got this. Come on, raise your hand. I know who you are. Okay, so that's us. Yeah, that's true. So you got this brain. And this brain will activate. It has something in it called the articular activator, which means, have you ever bought a car, and as soon as you bought the car, everybody else has the car now? You see a person in a red dress. Now you see everybody in a red dress. Come on, go with me on this right now. You got your nails did that way, and now everybody got their nails did that way. That was always there, but your articulator activator in your brain saw that it was important to you and started pointing it out everywhere. That's why the Bible talks about renewing your mind. Because when you come to church, you realize that the power of the mind is unbelievable. What the mind can believe and conceive can be transmitted and pulled into the reality of your life. I'm not talking about some, you know, hey, it's higher power. There is a higher power. It's not generic. His name is Jesus. But that same God that created the whole world and that thumbprint for everybody, that guy put something inside your brain that is called neuroplasticity. So your brain is very plastic. And so if you ever get in a situation where your brain keeps running the same ruts, You got to break that cycle and make new pathways. And a few weeks later, it's like muscle memory with a golfer. You have to renew your mind. And that's where church comes in. For you to really have forgiveness from your past. It's done with Jesus as soon as you talk to him about it. But it's not often done with you. That's why small groups are important. That's why church attendance is so important. Then peace for your now, that's for sure at church. How many would say today, you laughed a lot, you had a lot of fun, but you're learning stuff at the same time? This is your cue to raise your hand. Okay, all these things go hand in hand. So now to have hope for our future, we've got to train our brain to not just see the bright side, but know for a truth that you're set free. The fact is, airplanes should not fly because of the law of gravity. It's a fact. What goes up must come down. Watch this. How many of y'all believe? No matter what, I pray, God, please help. Please, God, I want to impress these people. Don't let that fall. It's a law. The law of aircraft only supersedes because of the law of lift. Thrust over drag equals shoo. So in a minute, for some reason, I'm going to go fly to proverbial North Pole today, St. Louis. Something superseded it. It is a fact that your sin is real. It is a fact that gravity is real, but something can supersede it. So the fact is, Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he lifted off. You look at the word, it actually says, when lift off, it says NASA, N-A-S-A. It's where we get the space program from as well. So he NASA'd, or he lifted off the pain of your past, gave you faith and peace for your future now, and hope for your better tomorrow. But that really only happens when you actually understand the word of God and you get plugged into church. I'm almost done, but let's look at a couple passages. Luke 1:37, this is a good one for you to like take your phone out and screenshot. It says, nothing you see is impossible with God. So if you can see it, you can be it. That's why I believe in vision walls. Everything you see, see there at Sunset Hills, think about that. That's a $37 million campus that you're sitting in right now, 2,400 seats that you're sitting in right now, right off the highway. I had to see it in my mind's eye, and I put a vision board of that building, and I said, God, I walked around the property, I said, God, if you give me that, I will re-asphalt it. God, if you give me that, I'll put new air units on. By the way, they're $120,000 each, and there's like 23 of them at that campus. And then Earth City, the same thing. Every campus that you're sitting in today, a homeschooler with no high school education, had to realize that God had forgiven me for my past and I was going to use it for my actual testimony and preach about it. And then he gave me peace for now in every situation. The crash of 2008, by the way, Earth City, that's when we bought you. It was always in bad times that God said, I want to give you hope for your future. What's happening in the world is not happening in the word. So if you can actually realize and look at every scenario and go, nothing you see is impossible with God. Bad marriage, not impossible. Bad kids, not impossible. Bad economy, not impossible. For with God, all things are possible. This is a house of hope. This is a house of faith. And this is a place that you can renew your mind and say, my best life, somehow to shout amen, is out ahead of me. Almost done. Proverbs 13:12. Here's some more Bible for you to memorize and take home and study on your own. It says, hope deferred or put off maketh the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Sometimes what we do is we put off, well, after 2024, I could get on with my life. After the divorce, I'll get on with my life. After I have kids, I'll get on with my life. Then you realize, oh, that's not going to work. I got to wait till they leave. When I'm an empty nester, I'll get on with my life. And so we're always putting off to tomorrow what we could do today. And so I want to encourage you at every campus to realize today to accept these gifts, all three of them. And then, of course, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And maybe you didn't pray that prayer at the beginning a while ago with our campus pastors at each campus because you just weren't ready. But now that I've kind of put my plow in the ground, and we laughed, and we showed videos, and we put a lot of meat in you. Now that I'm done and the soil is soft, I want you to make the smartest decision that you can in 2022. I want you to make the decision that changes everything about you. The way you think, the way you live, the way you respond, the way you react, because reactions, they need to be really quick. And for sure, you don't need to do it just for you, but you need to do it for your kids. Here's the question. How many of you either, you have kids or they're either adult or little kids? Raise your hand if you got kids. Raise your hand. All campuses. Come on, real high. Every campus. Okay, you got kids. Kids are confused. Right now, young kids are very confused. Because the enemy, we said at the beginning of this talk, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life. And so all these gifts that we talked about today, those gifts are only really good if you open them. So I want you to open up the gifts, and I want you to say, I'm going to take those gifts, and it is the gift, please play the piano. It is the gift that keeps on giving. And so I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart. And so I want every head bowed and every eye closed, and I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I turn my back on my past, and I turn my face toward my glorious future. And from this moment forward, I make you my Lord and my Savior. And if you're my Lord, then I need to go to your house. I need to have conversations with you. And I need to read the book you wrote. And God, I promise you, right now, at the end of this year, I recalibrate myself for the best year of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. And friend, if you pray that prayer today, you know, at the beginning, they talked about this card and it's still available. And I want you to get that card because me and all of our pastoral team, we take it serious. We pray over your names. We call you back. Try to get you involved because what I don't want you to do is do life alone. You say, well, this big church, how could I get connected? One of the ways you get connected to all these campuses, you get plugged in and you serve. I know the people at each and every campus. Like I was talking about even here in Florida, 1,100 miles away from my house in St. Louis. I know what's going on. Because we don't just say, oh, there's a big crowd. We love you and your family. And I want you thinking during this season that you're alone. And I just feel led as we get ready to watch this story right now. I feel by a word of knowledge that there's quite a few people today at all of our campuses that you're hurting. The Lord just spoke that to me. To pray a healing prayer over you. When I say hurting, I don't just mean physically. I mean, you're hurting emotionally. You don't know if you guys are going to make it. And the Lord told me to tell you that this sermon was for you today. In fact, you're saying, is he talking to me? I am talking to you. And if you were the last person in the world in a Denny's or an IHOP, I'd walk up to you and I'd talk to you and let you know you're doing better than you think you are. It's going to turn out okay. God hasn't forgotten about you. And I want you to accept God's forgiveness today. You just prayed that prayer. Then I want you to forgive yourself. That's important. And that only takes time. That comes around hanging out in an environment like this. Even when we're doing our worship songs, there's something that happens where the anointing of God flows and things that used to be on you fall off of you. And I know this because I have a front row seat and I've seen this thousands. This isn't an exaggeration. Thousands of people are listening to me right now at our churches. How do you think it happened? Not because I've done right or been perfect. I'm a big sinner. I know sin. I invented a lot of sin. It's embarrassing. I mean, over the years, when me and Nicole first got married, I remember a couple years after being up on stage, I saw some girl, and she says to me in the hallway, do you remember me? And I go, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. I do remember you. And we did bad things together after my divorce, and it was embarrassing. And then she said, your ministry, I watched you on television, and you're not the same guy you were. And I'm like, yes, and I really wish you would go to another church is what I was thinking. But I said all that to say this, I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. And I've used my life to tell you that if God can use me, he can sure use you. God, I pray for every person today, God, in the sound of my voice, it's hurting. And they feel like you've given up on them or people have given up on them. God, stir up the gift of hope in them to let them know that the worst is over and the best is yet to come. And 23, a better me, that'll be them. They'll have to introduce themselves a year from now because they will not recognize their life. There'll be joy again, peace again, harmony again. They'll be giddy again. They'll be excited about you, Jesus, and they'll share your love and what you've done with them, with their fellow man in the year to come. In Christ's holy name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand today. Come on, you can do better than that. He's good, isn't he?